Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Always nice to share this hour with you. We're broadcasting all over the world. Today, a special. We're going to begin with an in-depth, original investigative report, The Weaponization of the CDC Against Public Health. Richard Gale and I have spent a lot of time looking at the FDA, the National Cancer Institute, the World Health Organization, and all the different players to see who are these people, what is their real agenda, and why is it that they have so much influence over the choices we make. I do not know how long this will take. If it doesn't take the whole hour, then I have some additional information to share with you. Normally we would open with health and healing. But just imagine this. Imagine that you have done your homework. You are a professor of science-based medicine at a prestigious university, and you're invited onto a television show, and you're asked a basic question. Do the masks that children are wearing now in school, is it necessary? And he said no. That very statement, no, it is not necessary. And he is a professor of science-based medicine. His job, his entire career, is to see whether or not the policies we are enacting are based upon science or some other motive. Could you imagine how quickly every one of the defenders of the pro-vaccine agenda will start to attack him, no matter what his background, credentials, or the accuracy of his statements? That's what we're dealing with. How does that happen? I'm going to explore that with you in detail, and the detail is very specific. You need to have this, you need to share this information. Joe Rogan simply made a statement about, you know, what we're dealing with when it comes to vaccines. There's too many uncertainties. Can we say they're absolutely safe and effective? No, we cannot. No legitimate scientist, physician, or journalist should say that they're safe or effective because the evidence is not in yet that they're either because it hasn't been long enough to look at long-term effects. But we can say this as of today. As of right now, we can say with certainty that a minimum of 8,430 are dead, 354,177 injured, according to the official European database of adverse drug reactions for COVID-19 vaccines. And that's only about one-tenth of truth. Why? Because they're voluntary reporting, and therefore they're grossly understated. So let's just say that, let's just take a conservative number and say that it's 8,400 official. That means the people who reported, but it's really nine times that amount. You're dealing with 75,600 dead. Now, would that get anyone's attention? That's more than all the American casualties in the Vietnam War over a 12-year period, direct and indirect. But let's just say, let's take the figure of the 354,177, and let's say, let's do that times nine again. And what do we have? We have 3,187,593 injured, many of those severe, and will die also. Would that get anyone's attention? That's more casualties than Americans suffered in World War II. So why are we going forward with great enthusiasm, praising only that we believe it's going to prevent people from being infected, the vaccines, when they didn't even study whether it would be infected, you would be infected if you had the vaccine. And yet now we're having people who got the vaccines and are now told it can still be that you could be infected. This is no longer about science. It's about science fiction. And that's the journey we're going to take. If my office in New York has the studio, Jesse, if you have the clip from the British professor with a long, outstanding career, lots of articles published in Period Journal, we will play that for you now. It's only a minute, 30 seconds. It's worth listening to.
You've done a lot of work on masks and how effective masks are. Our children are back in school. I knew this would happen as soon as they had that 3 weeks before, 3 or 4 weeks before Easter. Our children are back in school once again wearing masks all day, every day in secondary school. Is there any evidence that those face masks are what are keeping children or their teachers safe?
No, there isn't. There isn't at this moment in time evidence that masks in schools reduce the uncertainty about whether they work or not. And what I would say to people is, in the absence of evidence, if you think they should be wearing them, go and talk to some children. That's what I've done, and said, what's the reality on the ground? What's it like for you in class? How does it feel? And I can tell you, they hate them. They find it really difficult. They don't adhere to the guidelines. So, for instance, at the end of class, they go in the pocket to pull them out. That's a dangerous issue with co-infections and the potential for that to stay infected for a period of time. So I think, look, it comes back to, at the end of the day, common sense. And in effect, we're going to, in 2 weeks' time, they're being told they can remove them. I think, again, the government should start to look coolly and calmly at the data, and then think, where does it have an evidence base and where doesn't it? And that's all I ever do, yep, is say, where's the evidence to inform what we do? And if it's lacking, then you have to sort of on the side of not intervening. Now, one of the key problems we've got when we intervene is it becomes incredibly difficult to roll back interventions.
Yep.
And that's what we're seeing. And that's the great problem now. Just in case approach. That's not how to perform in healthcare.
Okay, there's a high-level academic, tenured professor in a specialty field, and he's saying it provides no protection. Use common sense. Think of all the deaths of children who committed suicide. Far more children committed suicide than died of COVID or even were infected with serious outcome. So who benefits from that? Here is, historically, for 40 years, four decades, one of the most respected and sought after for their advice scientists in all of Europe, Dr. Michael Yeadon. Here's what he had to say about the vaccine passports, because the vaccine passports are one more step towards, in his view and many others, total totalitarianism.
There's a lot of talk about vaccine passports, and they're just nonsense. Let me just explain. If you're a vulnerable person and you've chosen to be vaccinated, and all has gone well, and it will in most cases, you are now protected. You do not need to know the immune status of anyone around you in a football game or a theatre or a shop. You wouldn't benefit from the presence of a vaccine passport in the hands of anyone around you, because you're protected by your vaccination. If, on the other hand, you've chosen not to be vaccinated because you're young and healthy and you've looked at the statistics and you're not at risk from the virus, you don't need to know anyone else's immune status either. You don't need to see their vaccine passport. So neither the vaccinated nor the unvaccinated benefit at all from vaccine passports. So I can tell you who will benefit: the people who are pushing it on you. And guess what? If vaccine passports come into being, there will be the world's first common format digital ID for every person on the planet, and at least one editable health-related flag, which will be, is your vaccine passport valid or not? And then whoever controls that database can set the algorithm to allow someone who's got a valid vaccine passport to cross a boundary, like an international border, or getting into a shop or a sports game, and it will prohibit people who don't have that from doing those things. I've just explained to you that it doesn't benefit any of the people, but it definitely benefits the totalitarian controllers who have that database. It's never been like this in the world before, and I believe if it goes live, we'll not only be standing at the gates of hell, we'll just be given a little push and in we'll go. Because once you're on this system and your whole life is permissioned by your status on this system, have you got a valid vaccine or not, then you can be made to do absolutely anything. So let me just imagine this situation. 6 months' time, your vaccine passport app pings, and there's a message there that says, Dr. Yeadon, it's time to come down for your top-up vaccine, which we'll talk about in a minute. And there's another little ping, and it says, and please bring your 10-year-old grandchild down. We've noticed they've not been vaccinated. The final comment will be, just need to let you know, if you don't comply with these two requirements, within 3 weeks, your vaccine passport will expire and you'll be excluded from your life and all parts of your life. So you might think that you wouldn't let your grandchild be vaccinated, but I've just told you, I've shown you, if you let this damn thing go live, you'll be coerced into doing it. You'll have no way out. You'll have to comply.
All right. Well, that's where we're going. If you doubt what he is saying, and by the way, he was Pfizer, one of the makers of the vaccine. He was Pfizer's top scientist in this area for a long time, for 17 years, but a 40-year in sciences overall. Never had a problem with his reputation. Now they're going after him to destroy his reputation by any means possible. And by the way, I mentioned Joe Rogan a little earlier because Joe dared to have a comment with someone on the program that didn't say don't take vaccines, just was asking a question. Now they're trying to get him removed from his new gig. And thus far, the person said, well, you know, we're still standing behind him. Please send what I'm about to share to Joe Rogan, but also share it with everyone, everyone that you can. In fact, this weekend, there's going to be a demonstration, and there's going to be a lot of people there. A lot from the Orthodox Jewish community will be there. Vera Sharov, who survived the Holocaust and concentration camps, she's going to be there. And it's going to be, It's 1 o'clock in Grand Army Plaza. And take a copy of today's show, make a CD of it, and hand it to as many people who are interested in the truth why this is happening. Now I'm going to explain why this is happening, how it's happening, and how they control everything. What if you were to know that a cabal of corrupt bureaucrats and scientists at the heart of the Center for Disease Control have known for almost 2 decades that vaccines, including the MMR, can lead to autism and other neurological disorders? Most people are unaware that the CDC is a militarized federal agency, further influenced by private pharmaceutical interest. Due to the politicalization of national immunization, vaccine efficacy and safety has become all but irrelevant. Its policies drive profits for itself and its partners. Now the agency is committed to having as many Americans mandated to be fully vaccinated as soon as possible, irrespective of how many lives are destroyed. The very mindset and disregard for human life that created the notorious Tuskegee experiment is alive and thriving in the systemic racism of the innards of the CDC. It's a fetid bowel that they thrive in. Isn't it time to take a hard look at the advocates of compromised pharmaceutical science and the motivations that compel the CDC and its vaccine network to systematically mislead the public for personal benefit, power, and greed? We need to begin to understand that the agency, the CDC, operates as an independent, deep state, secretive, non-transparent, and conducting itself in covert ways behind the disguise of heralding public health. When the brilliant journalist I.F. Stone wrote, quote, every government is run by lies, and nothing they say should be believed, end quote. He may have just as well been speaking about the CDC, the FDA, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, and Anthony Fauci, and its alliance with the pharmaceutical industries, many medical journals, and virtually all of the mainstream media. The money-driven institutions of evidence-based medicine and science, which have hijacked America's health agencies, and I'm talking about all the agencies. I'm talking about the National Institutes of Health, the National Institute of Mental Health, the National Cancer Institute, and the USDA, have plunged a stake into the heart of authentic, honest scientific inquiry and knowledge in innovative medical processes. Its efforts to hermetically seal and silence the debate on vaccination safety with propaganda, coercion, erroneous and deceptive research, and blatant criminality have succeeded in transforming modern vaccinology into an egregious pseudoscience that is that today is destroying the lives of millions of infants, children, and their families. The deep-seated problems that reside in the CDC are not going unnoticed by a growing number of Americans. A RAND Corporation survey of public trust in the agencies during the COVID pandemic found a 10% decline in trust. For decades, distrust in the CDC has been high among Black Americans. Today, levels of trust among non-Hispanic whites and Hispanic respondents are comparable. One of the fundamental reasons for Americans' mistrust and skepticism has been the agency's culture of muddying the lines between scientific facts and highly compromised opinions that support gross and deep-seated conflicts of interest. This problem has also entered the ranks of the CDC personnel. A group of CDC scientists who call themselves SPIDER, standing for Scientists Preserving the Integrity, Diligence, and Ethics in Research, became anonymous whistleblowers after releasing a written complaint criticizing the agency that they work for operating as a tax-funded subsidiary of the drug industry in partnership with the FDA. And after a Congressional Government Reform Committee brought CDC officials to testify before legislators, the committee concluded the agency had routinely allowed scientists with conflicts of interest with pharmaceutical companies to serve on its two advisory committees that make recommendations on vaccine policy. The blurring of the lines between the pharmaceutical industry and our federal health agencies has been a scandal evolving over the course of at least 30 years. The revolving door between private interests and top government employees never ceases to gyrate. For example, former CDC Director Julie Gerberding left government to become president of Merck's vaccine division. She was the head of the CDC, a move that has since earned her upwards of $3 million in stock options with Merck. This may seem to be a modest reward for Gerberding heading the agency now irrefutably responsible for the cover-up of the CDC's own studies proving the MMR vaccine increases the risk of autism in African-American boys. The MMR is manufactured by Merck. So she protected Merck as the head of the CDC. Robert Kennedy Jr., one of the nation's expert watchdogs in the corporatization of our federal medical establishment, has called the CDC, quote, a cesspool of corruption, end quote. We believe that is an understatement. Unlike the FDA, which has a contract, actual contract, with the American public to assure warnings about health risks and contraindications of registered drugs and medical devices, the CDC has no such contract with the nation's citizenry. It seemingly has no ethical standards whatsoever and abides by no mandated rules of law. We are aware of that. For this reason, it may be best regarded as an intelligence agency rather than an institution committed to public health. One recent example, the CDC's covert activities took place in 2016. Across the mainstream media, journalists en masse denounced the documentary film Vaxxed, from cover-up to catastrophe. The film recounted the events of CDC whistleblower Dr. William Thompson and his agency's intentional cover-up and destruction of documents of scientific evidence proving the MMR vaccine caused autism. Rather than denouncing the nation's vaccine agenda, the film uncovers massive corruption in the CDC's vaccine division. But a problem with the media-wide demonization of the film arose, which included ABC, CNN, MSNBC, The Guardian, The Washington Post, The New York Times, Forbes, Rolling Stone, and many others. The media blitzkrieg occurred before the film's actual release. So hear me clearly. None of the journalists had watched the film. None knew the underlying storyline aside from what could be gleaned from a three-minute trailer. Our investigative article, Why is the CDC Petrified of the Film Vaxxed?, uncovered a template for an editorial script upon which all of these reviews were based. The originator of this single source. And by the way, we tracked them back and it led to the halt of the CDC. The CDC's partnership and fellowship programs with the Association of Healthcare Journalists is nothing less than an intelligence indoctrination program to train journalists to be the mouthpieces of the CDC's fake science, corrupt science. The curriculum held at the CDC's Atlanta campus includes propaganda in health agents, health policies, epidemiology. There's no authentic gold standard biological science there. Pandemic preparedness, vaccine safety, and autism. Journalists are also instructed to access CDC publications and databases to pursue federal resources, public relations kits, and propaganda. Vaccine policy and the development and promotion of the childhood vaccine schedule is only one of the CDC's many corporate tasks. It is not exclusively concerned with the physical and mental health of the nation. It is also engaged in the design and development of biological weapons and threats of bioterrorism. Because vaccines are biological drugs that may be weaponized, they fall under the CDC's purview and jurisdiction. Consequently, the CDC works closely with the Department of Defense and virtually all the intelligence agencies, such as the National Security Agency, with whom there is exchange of data collection and sharing of classified information. In its April 21st, 2000 MMWR report entitled Biological and Chemical Terrorism, Strategic Plan for Preparedness and Response, the CDC reported that, quote, for the first time the CDC has joined with law enforcement, intelligence, and defense agencies in addition to traditional CDC partners to address the national security threat, end quote. This may have been the turning point when the CDC morphed into a pseudo-intelligence agency and assumed a deep state role by adopting an inquisitional task of population surveillance and information data collection as a matter of intelligence gathering instead of improving your health care. During the past years, this has further grown into spying and covert operations against the critics, all critics, of our national health and immunization policies. Immunization is described on CDC website is now a matter of national and global security. Therefore, no longer are vaccines simply a public health intervention. In fact, immunization has been removed from science altogether and consequently can only be looked upon as flawed and unreliable research to support policy templates and recommendations that get enacted at state levels. These policies are left for politicians to debate, which is never done, and is no longer open for discussion among expert medical researchers outside the CDC's ranks and its network of trolls, shills, doctors for hire, scientists for hire, medical puppets spewing disinformation on all the networks into the public sector. This alone is sufficient incentive for targeting and silencing voices challenging vaccine safety and efficacy and who demand a reevaluation of vaccine and its toxic ingredient. And all of the people I'm speaking about are actually pro-vaccines. They simply want a proven by gold standard, double-blind placebo-controlled study over a long period of time with the placebo being a saline solution. That has not been done. Why do you think they attacked Robert Kennedy of the New York Times? Do you think that was an accident? No. When they attack you or attack a film like Vax, it's with intent. But they won't attack directly. They have all of their agents do the attacking. Few people realize the CDC owns 56 vaccine patents. These patents are licensed to drug makers whose royalties later buy and distribute $4.6 billion worth of vaccines through its Vaccines for Children's program, which accounts for 40% of its CDC budget. This has given rise to a 2015 British Medical Journal investigative report accusing the CDC of becoming a lapdog for commercial interest. The CDC also controls a separate nonprofit institution known as the CDC Foundation, which operates like an astroturf organization. It was founded in 1992 through an amendment inserted into the George H.W. Bush's Preventive Health Act. The foundation operates outside of congressional oversight. How do I know? Well, here is an opening statement. Quote, the foundation shall not be an agency or institutionality of the federal government. And officers, employees, and members of the board of the foundation shall not be officers of the federal government. The purpose of the foundation shall be to support and carry out activities for the prevention and control of disease, disorders, injuries, and disabilities, and for promotion of public health. The foundation shall establish a fund for providing endowments for positions that are associated with the CDC's, and that's it, end quote. In other words, the foundation has been established as a recruiting service funded by non-federal sources, which can include private corporations and drug makers. So we dug deeper. Who funds it? Well, endowments to the foundation are unrestricted, which means they can be spent solely based upon the discretion of the donator and to support the giver's vested interest. Among the CDC Foundation's list of partners, you will find some large vaccine makers. Who? Glaxo, Merck, Novartis, Pfizer, the Sanofi Pasteur, and of course the Bill & Melinda Gates Foundation. Under Freedom of Information Act submission, it was discovered that the CDC had been providing guidance to the companies for influencing authorities on sugar and beverage policies. How so? The CDC Foundation receives large donations from Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, and thereby exerts its influence to taint national guidelines about diabetes, liver disease, and other illnesses. In another example, Roche, the manufacturer of the drug Tamiflu against influenza infection, donated $193,000 to the foundation in return for the CDC's advocating the drug's benefits for relieving flu symptoms. This completely undermines the FDA's own ruling that Tamiflu's clinical trial does not support the claims that drugs save lives or lessens hospitalizations. But you wouldn't have known that. It's all hidden. It has been through the foundation that Bill Gates' faux philanthropic efforts has bought off the CDC. Gates has given tens of millions of dollars to the CDC Foundation over the years. In 2013, the Bill & Melinda Gates Foundation gave $13.5 million to support the CDC's efforts to undertake surveillance and increase meningitis and rotavirus vaccination rates in sub-Saharan Africa. Furthermore, the center's activities are no longer limited to the United States. Domestic health. After 9/11, its mission expanded far beyond its original mandate, and today the agency is globally engaged. On the center's website, it defines itself as America's, quote, global health protection agency in charge of, quote, implementing global health security and works in partnership with other nations. Since 2006, the CDC claimed it had trained over 115,000 professional personnel in its interpretation of health issues. Its global rapid response team has over 400 experts, quote, and they can deploy in as little as 48 hours to respond to local and regional health emergencies. In brief, the CDC has immersed itself in the technology of surveillance, information gathering, and analysis. These are among the defining characteristics of an intelligence agency. Other intelligence activities often associated with a deep state and now undertaken by the CDC include pressuring peer-review medical journals to retract studies that challenge their ideology or endanger the agency's reputation. In 2014, Dr. Brian Hooker, a biochemist, highly respected at Simpson University, reevaluated the CDC's own data showing the actual increase in autism among African-American boys, 350% increase. In a personal discussion with Dr. Hooker, he estimated that that would include about 300,000 young boys 36 months and younger who would later go on, develop autism, and have their lives adversely affected because the cover-up was in. Initially approved for publication by the journal Translational Neurodegeneration, the study was shortly thereafter suspended after the CDC pressured the journal with fabricated claims against Dr. Hooker. This is a textbook case of intelligence sabotage of a critic by false accusation. Similar to the Pentagon and the CIA, the CDC has also infiltrated Hollywood. Did you ever wonder why all these celebrities are coming forward, well-intentioned, but making statements that are not based upon any science, joining the gang of virtue-shaming people who don't get their vaccines or want a vaccine passport? They're reading a script. That's what they do. That's what they're paid to do, for better or worse. But who controls the script and the narrative? They do not. There's a little relatively unknown organization called Hollywood Health and Society. Its top funders include the CDC, the National Cancer Institute, the Office of National Drug Control Policy, and the largest private funder of vaccines, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. The small organization's mission is to provide, quote, briefings and consultations with experts, case examples, panel discussions about timely health issues for Hollywood scriptwriters and producers. Among the main topics listed on its website are influenza, smallpox, and autism, all official propaganda stamped with the CDC seal of approval. So when someone comes forward on a show and says there is no connection between vaccines, any vaccine, and autism, they're telling you what they've been told to say. They have not done their own homework. That's the control the CDC has through one of its subsidiaries. Among the trove of classified national security documents released by the National Security Agency whistleblower Edward Snowden were several regarding the government's intelligence agency's infiltration of the Internet in order to manipulate information, deceive the public, and destroy personal reputations and opponents, including independent journalists. Among the documents was a manual, quote, The Art of Deception, Training for Online Covert Operations, end quote. Let me repeat that. This is from the government. This is from the CDC. This is what they're doing. Quote, The Art of Deception, Training for Online Covert Operations. One of its stated missions is to flood the Internet with false information and data to destroy the reputations of its opponents. Furthermore, the manual provides instructions on taking control of online public discourse in order to generate alliances to the intelligence agency's false point of view. Vaccine opponents often complain about the blogosphere being riddled with anonymous trolls, most who would be unable to debate their way out of a cardboard box on scientific issues regarding vaccines, but who nevertheless follow the intelligence manual strategies to disparage vaccine critics. Bill Gates, who is on record condemning parents who refused vaccines and who is no stranger to the higher echelon of executives in the vaccine industry and department heads of the CDC, funded psychology professor at the University of Connecticut to develop a monitoring system to track all anti-vaccine internet traffic. Given Gates's utter disdain towards voices speaking out against vaccines, we can be certain this was not for humanitarian research purposes, but as part of intelligence gathering in the CDC's war against health of the nation and anyone advocating for something other than their approach. Others who have been CDC mouthpieces yet are viewed as respectable and medically credentialed kingpins, such as Paul Offit, Peter Hoyts, Senator Richard Penn from California, and others, are welcomed by the media as the foremost authorities and final voices on vaccine topics. To our peril, federal agencies take full advantage of the average American scientific illiteracy. An important survey conducted by Michigan State University found that only 4% of American adults had an understanding about stem cells. 70% could not, quote, read or understand the science section in the New York Times. An earlier study funded by the U.S. National Science Foundation noted about a half of Americans understand that the Earth rotates around the sun annually. 45% of people had an acceptable understanding of DNA, and only 22% knew what a molecule was. Although scientific illiteracy is an enormous threat to a functioning democracy and an informed public, nevertheless, it is a boon for the CDC and the vaccine industry. The less you know, the more power they exercise, and therefore they can create fear. manipulating this ignorance with heavy doses of fear tactics, such as revealed through the CDC's press model, to guide the mainstream media's role in increasing vaccine compliance. Health officials have managed to successfully thwart many efforts to educate the public to evaluate pros and cons of vaccination. And have you ever noticed that when something comes out in one area of the media, the same identical words are used in all the media, all at the same time? That's all scripted. Does that give you a pause of, my goodness, what else should I not trust or believe that this mainstream media is sharing with me? If there's a hidden agenda by forces behind the scenes. Along with the corporatization of Washington's three branches of government and the emergence of a surveillance state watching over the shoulders of every citizen, the politicalization of medicine, particularly vaccines, is another sign of the further decay of the national interest going towards totalitarianism. For almost two decades, fake news and bureaucratic deception, anger, hatred, and disproportional distrust has taken the spotlight as the nation's health further erodes. Annually, the quality of America's health is declining, and this is most evident in the younger generations who have received the bulk of vaccines. While the CDC and its allies conjure distorted statistics with no sound scientific basis from thin air in order to convince us that vaccines have saved countless lives, prove it. Show us the studies. Prove any of your claims. We're also scientists and journalists, and we know the facts. Come and debate, but they won't. They refuse to. In fact, these screeds are no more scientifically reliable than visiting the local gypsy soothsayer to have your palm read. A doctorate in science or a medical degree from Harvard does not excuse a person from duplicitous scheming. The good news is that the tide is slowly turning. The populace is steadily losing its faith in government. Autism rates continue to rise, and parents are often unable to understand why. Therefore, more and more are turning to independent medical research, and there they find the real dangers of vaccines and the lack of actual science to support the immunization. And you're seeing increases in New Jersey and New York and other states and California especially, where you have no right to exemption at all, not religious. And hence, you're seeing as more children get vaccinated, the autism level goes up, and the entire script is deny, deny, deny. After all, who knows more about your toddler, your baby, or your young child's health than your pediatrician? Certainly not you, the mother or father. Who's with that child all day? Who's raising it? The mother or father? But you're now left out of the equation. And that's unfortunate. Because you see normal children going into this deep rabbit hole of losing many of their basic faculties just after the vaccines. But they'll be given absolute assurance it wasn't the vaccines. We need more research, they'll say. A fundamental reason why parents increasingly refuse to vaccinate themselves and their children is quite simple. The cartel of pharmaceutical-friendly bureaucrats writing the nation's healthcare policies have been losing the public's trust, and rightly and deservedly so. There's no secret why federal health officials and their absolutist claims to mandate vaccine compliance are untrustworthy. Let me give you an example. In 2016, over 1,500 medical researchers surveyed by the prestigious journal Nature failed to reproduce another scientist's experimental results. Over half were unable to reproduce their own experiments. The article concludes that the potential reasons for this lack of scientific confirmation are numerous. However, most important is that no single scientific study or paper can claim to be the final word on any medical issue, and this is especially true with vaccine research. The complexities, the human immune system, its biomolecular mechanisms, and its epigenetic relationship with external environmental factors are not fully understood, and there remains much more to discover and digest. Modern immunology is still a long way to understanding all of its mechanisms. In contracts, vaccine science continues to rely partially upon an antiquated understanding of the body's immune system focused almost exclusively on antibody generation. One example of a medical negligence has been the rising epidemic of citizens who are immune compromised and therefore most susceptible to adverse vaccine reactions. When a severe condition of immunosuppression is clearly diagnosed, it is not uncommon for physicians to withhold vaccination. It could harm or kill the patient. But how many Americans are immunocompromised? Do you know? Does anyone in government know? How about the answer is no one knows? When this question was posed to a researcher at St. John's University in 2015, to his surprise, Theo Scholl discovered there were no population accurate statistics and none of our federal health agencies nor medical institutions were tracking it. Not only are there these people at higher risk of vaccine injury, they are also at higher risk from infection from wild viruses. Federal vaccine policies do not differentiate the population with weakened immune systems, destroyed immune systems, near-death systems from healthier individuals. One size fits all. Haven't you heard Bill Gates? Every person on the earth should be vaccinated. Anthony Fauci? They're all saying the same thing. Where is their science? There is none. The CDC immunization schedule is everybody, whether you're a 300-pound weightlifter or an 8-pound baby, you take the same vaccine. Its bottom line demands that everyone should and must be vaccinated and hence follow the dictate. After reviewing the different immune-compromised populations, meaning immunosenescence or weakened immunity due to age in the senior population, malnourishment, cancer patients, people with AIDS and HIV, transplant recipients, patients under immunosuppressive drugs with autoimmune conditions, and primary genetic immunodeficiency disorders, Scholl estimated there was approximately 122.6 million Americans with a weakened immune system and probably higher at risk for infections. Our reevaluation of the available figures places this figure at 130.4 million. Over one-third of all of Americans have an immunocompromised system, and therefore those people should be recognized by their physicians and by all measures of health to not be thrown into that vaccine juggernaut. Because then when people begin to die, they'll say it was from COVID, for example, and not look at their underlying conditions that would put them at greatest risk. This is the most medically irresponsible program in world history. And I believe, as do many others who are studying the statistics and science, that this is putting in jeopardy hundreds of millions of people. Will they take responsibility? Not going to happen. The question whether 130 million people in the United States, including hundreds of thousands of children, should be subject to injections with infectious viruses live or attenuated or killed, or now the new generation of mRNA COVID-19 vaccines that have no prior precedence for observing long-term adverse effects, is never discussed. Volumes of medical and biochemical research confirming the severe vaccine ingredients are also ignored. Nor is there any consideration given to the number of vaccines administered and the risks due to the accumulative level of toxic ingredients when multiple vaccines are given simultaneously or within a short period. Nor do pediatricians routinely evaluate the state of the child's immunological health before determining whether or not to administer a vaccine. Do you doubt that? Then why don't you go into any drugstore, go into any medical facility, and you'll be given the vaccine with none of the disclaimers or an examination saying, do you suffer from autoimmune or any other immune condition? Therefore, you would not be the person who should be vaccinated. None of this. It's everybody get in line, everybody get a vaccine. That is insanity. That is so irresponsible at every level. And yet people are advocating exactly that because of their ideological perspective, their political perspective, their economic perspective, or some power perspective, or just people who are just bone dense and want to just argue the issue. How ironic that people are most likely to say no to a vaccine are those who've done their homework. Those who are championing it are the ones who are least scientifically literate. So, we have physicians and pediatricians who the reality is are largely as ignorant as the general public about the scientific evidence supporting and debunking vaccine safety and efficacy. And who's their source? What holy grail do they put their hand on and say, I am now aware? The CDC disinformation campaign. The CDC has yet to conduct or fund definitive and legitimate studies to determine once and for all individual vaccine safety and whether or not vaccines are, as exogenous factors, are contributing to the onslaught of illnesses ravaging our country. Yes, such gold standard studies, which remain absent from the pro-vaccine arsenal, would be very costly. But that would be the price to pay to bring sanity to an irrational world. Nevertheless, the cumulative financial costs of all previous governments-sponsored fake science would be a small price to pay for the future well-being of children. During congressional proceedings in 2002, into the causes for the unaccountable rise in autism in the United States, CDC officials confirmed no studies have been undertaken to compare the quality of health between vaccinated and unvaccinated children. Yet the subcommittee, and by the way, the person who headed the committee, Representative Burton, and the chief of staff, I've spoken in depth to get the real findings. I put that information in interviews. You'll see them in The Drugging of Our Children, also Vaccination, also Autism Made in USA, also four other films that I've done on vaccines, spending tens of thousands of hours studying the science. So they say, are you going to do the studies? And the CDC, under oath, says, absolutely. Jump ahead a decade when the CDC was again yanked before the subcommittee. Still no studies had been conducted, not even started. Congress was assured such studies were forthcoming. We should not hold our breath. Officials at the CDC and Department of Health and Human Services know perfectly well that vaccinated children are susceptible to far more allergies and illnesses than their unvaccinated peers. Their greatest fear is a thorough long-term study to see whether unvaccinated children are indeed healthier. Otherwise, the necessary research to prove the health advantages of the vaccines would have been conducted a long time ago. They know the outcome. Yet there are reasons why such studies are not mandated nor funded. Health agencies are fully aware that vaccines are a scourge. Instead, they pump out ecological and epidemiological cohort studies, notorious for subjective manipulation, confounders, and biases to support their dogmas. Such studies, which are little more than algorithmic equations for sifting, shifting, and fudging data, are scientifically invalid for determining any medical truth. Nevertheless, epidemiological studies remain the most cited articles by the most vocal proponents of vaccination and vaccine mandates. However, corruption at the CDC is not limited to national vaccine policies and the deceptive manipulation of scientific data to further advance a national vaccine regime. The agency has also been discovered to mislead the nation on other health issues that in turn shape government policies. Earlier, it was accused of inflating numbers of rapes in the United States. The CDC estimated with certainty 2 million rapes occurred within a single year. That was 2011. However, the Justice Department's crime statistics recorded only 238,000. That's a huge difference. Later, Time magazine reported that the manner the CDC gathered its information was extremely flawed and biased. In 2016, The Hill reported the CDC misled Congress with its Wise Woman Project, a national screening and evaluation project to help reduce heart disease risks in women between 40 and 64 and to promote healthier lifestyles. The CDC data of the project was called, quote, cooked, end quote, meaning fake, to make the results look better than it was, and that the project was larger and more inclusive than it actually was. The writings of Hannah Arendt over 50 years ago about the origins of totalitarian ideologies and states have never been more poignant and prophetic than today. She worried deeply about the language of absolutism, and particularly in the realm of science, which is now the underlying mission of the CDC to politicize and hence to control all immunization. The attempt to reduce all of human life to well-defined processes, to predictable patterns and primitive linear reductionism was in Arendt's view both self-defeating and extremely dangerous for a healthy society. In a totalitarian state, objectivity is tyrannical. Scientific objectivity that threatens the official policy even more so. In the case of vaccines, the entire industry is a creed that has institutionalized a denial of the most fundamental principles of science and fact-finding. And worse, the CDC's ongoing war of terror against the unvaccinated has become lawful. And this is what gives rise to totalitarian culture of science. Arendt was certain that a fascist worldview does not necessarily have to be framed in nationalism or religious doctrine or based upon race or ethnicity. She worried that science and its technologies, once they became politicized, would give rise to new forms of totalitarianism and persecution in the future. And today this totalitarian stench breathes through many scientific institutions and universities, through the private vaccine industry, and its most pungent odor of rot and decay fills the halls of the CDC and Congress. I'm Gary Nall. This special report is posted on GaryNall.com under COVID, under vaccines. You can download it and share it with whoever you wish. It is fully documented and has been vetted for accuracy. But more importantly, send it over to Joe Rogan so he can see that the people attacking him now are doing so not because they know the science and they have absolutism on their side. They do not. Or that they can prove that the new vaccines are safe and effective. It is a year to two too early for anyone to make such statements. And that the tests that are taken, the PCR test, is a fraudulent test. And that the number of mortality counts that we've been given are lies and conflating figures. And why is it over the whole world the flu doesn't exist anymore? Did it suddenly disappear? Did these coronaviruses that are the colds and flu, did they simply stop? No. They're using those death and injury figures into the COVID to keep the COVID figures pumped up. What do you think would happen in a country that stopped taking the PCR test but instead measured antibodies to see if you've been infected and if you have, the high probability that you're having had COVID with little or no symptoms meant that you're now immunized? Do they tell you that what is the reason now for a young healthy person to get vaccinated if you already have the protective antibodies? But that discussion never happens, because then that challenges the mandate, and the media will not tolerate anyone who challenges the mandate. You'll be considered a vaccine denier. You'll be considered someone who engages in conspiracy theories and pseudoscience, when that is not the case at all. Hopefully, people will pay more attention to what they have to this point, because very shortly, you will lose the opportunity to be able to offer legitimate and honest decisions of what should go into your body. Should you not have the freedom of choice of what you take into your body? And should we not revisit the Nuremberg Code and even look at the Nuremberg conclusions? It's not law in the United States, unfortunately. But it doesn't mean that we can't revisit it. We should hold those in power accountable under the law to, if they've engaged in crimes against humanity, if they've lied, if they've engaged in deception. But right now, anyone in a federal agency, from the Justice Department to CIA, the FBI, the CDC, to Anthony Fauci's National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Disease, no matter what crimes they commit, they will be protected. You, who've done your homework, read the science, using common sense and reason, who may otherwise be fully pro-vaccine, are saying, I'm not going to allow my body to be the experimental guinea pig. I'll wait. You will be attacked. You'll become a second-class citizen. Everyone else will pride themselves on having their vaccine passport, condemn and threaten you or fear you. You'll be excluded from all things that are in the public domain. That's the game. What do we do at this moment? I'm Gary Noll, and thank you for listening.